what the president's new economic advisor will bring to the table. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The White House says CNBC commentator Lawrence Kudlow has accepted President Trump's offer to head the National Economic Council. So, what might Kudlow bring to the job as top economic advisor? Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
The head of the National Economic Council's job is to advise the president on economic policy issues and coordinate with agencies to help meet the administration's economic goals. Joseph Minerick, with the Business-Led Committee for Economic Development, says Lawrence Kudlow may not be inclined to bring a wide range of economic ideas to policy discussions.
He, in all likelihood, is going to be going to the president with his own point of view.
He says Kudlow's ability to bring serious economic analysis to complex issues is unclear. But Dean Baker, who runs the left-leaning Center for Economic and Policy Research, says Kudlow has expressed strong views on some issues.
In general, he's completely opposed to regulations.
Kudlow's also a proponent of tax cuts, like President Trump. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
The president's new advisor seems to be moderating his views on some issues. Earlier this month, Kudlow wrote a column criticizing the president's tariffs on steel and aluminum, but he's backed away from that just yesterday, saying he was on board with the tariffs, though encouraged that exceptions could be made for Canada and Mexico. Dove soap, Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Marmite, Lipton tea, they're all made by Unilever. Unilever has headquarters in both the Netherlands and London, but not for much longer. The company says it's going to be based only in the Netherlands moving forward. This is a pretty sensitive time for the company to be doing this, given fears in Britain over how Brexit might affect its economy. So the news is not going down smoothly in the UK. The BBC's Theo Leggett has been following this. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning.
Unilever was split between two headquarters, one in the Netherlands and one over where you are in London. Now it's ditched London and it's just headquartered in the Netherlands. Why is that?
Well, this goes back to when Unilever was formed back in the late 1920s. It was a British margarine producer and a Dutch margarine producer decided to get together. But instead of merging their operations into one company, they kept this dual corporate structure. And it was all getting a bit unwieldy. It's merging these two corporate structures into one, and it's going to have a single corporate headquarters. And that headquarters will be in Rotterdam, which people in the company say is the logical manoeuvre. But it does come at a time of tensions over Britain leaving the European Union. And that's why the fate of a company which hitherto has been at least partly British, now becoming Dutch, has become a bit political.
Well, does this have anything to do with Brexit?
Not according to Unilever and not according to the British government. Unilever says it's all for technical reasons. That said, opponents of Britain leaving the EU have already come forward and said this is a big blow to the British government. It's a blow to British prestige.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow and S&P futures are up a little less than 0.1%, with the Dow future up 26 points. NASDAQ futures down 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.81%. One bad apple spoils the barrel. You might have heard that saying. Apparently, it's true for misbehaving employees, too. Will Gerken is a professor at the Gatton College of Business and Economics at the University of Kentucky. He took a look at the finance industry and studied in particular what happens when you introduce a bad employee, someone who's committed some kind of misconduct, to a new team. The bad behavior can spread. Professor Gerken, good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so being a bad employee is contagious, apparently, huh? How contagious is it?
So in our context, we're looking at the financial advisory industry, which has been in the news somewhat for having some problem with some misconduct. And the issue that we see, when you're exposed to a colleague that's engaging in these bad business practices, you become about 40% more likely to engage in these bad practices yourself.
What about good employees? I mean, does it go the other way where you meet up with a good employee and they They make a bad employee better?
Yeah, so this is a good question. What is, ends up going on is the bad behavior, the employees that are behaving well before they're exposed to this, they kind of update their own beliefs about kind of the consequences of bad behavior. And so if they see a peer that's engaging in these practices and maybe they end up, you know, getting extra bonus because they're aggressively selling their clients or they get punished, but not very severely, they update their own beliefs about this types of behavior and then cause them to be more likely to engage in bad actions themselves. But on the other side, we don't see a whole lot of kind of a reduction of misbehavior when you put a bad employee in a good environment. They kind of keep their stripes, as the expression goes.
What should people who make hiring decisions, who are in charge of putting people together, what should they take from your findings about contagiousness of bad behavior?
I think the biggest takeaway for, you know, in practice for hiring managers is that you need to worry about the spillover effects of having a bad employee. It's not enough to say, hey, I can manage this one bad employee. The cost of a bad employee is not just the internal cost of that, of dealing with that employee, but potentially tainting the culture of all the people that a coworker works with.
Will Gerken, professor at the Gatton College of Business and Economics at the University of Kentucky. Thank you so much. This was really interesting.
Thanks. I enjoyed it.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.